Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast. Another week, another race week, and we are in full swing. We're off to Miami this week, and we are in for a big weekend, I think.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think, look, there's always something about the spectacle of these races in these sort of places. But before we dive into Miami, make sure you are giving us a five-star rating wherever you are listening to us. It really does make a big difference to the podcast, and we really do appreciate it. If you're watching us on YouTube, by the way, welcome back to, I guess, our YouTube channel. We will be releasing clips on the BoxBox Club YouTube channel, and yes, of course, we are still powered by BoxBox Club. So if you do want an exclusive 30% discount for BoxBox Ultra, then click the link down below in the description. Honestly, it is an unbelievable app. We use it. It's delightful. There's also a free version. Like, you can just get a free version, try it out, see if it's a bit of you. And then if you want to upgrade to the next level, make sure you use code BoxBoxPod. I think it's in the description if you do want it anyway. So no matter what, we have got you covered. And we love the guys at BoxBox Club as well.
We do.
You can also follow us on social media. Make sure you do that. Get involved on TikTok, Twitter in particular. Twitter? I didn't even mean to say that. TikTok, Instagram in particular is where we are at. And also do make sure you follow the guys at BoxBox Club. All the links are in the description down below if you are watching on YouTube. And if you're listening, then you can actually flick between apps as we're speaking right now and look for BoxBox Pod to find us and BoxBox Club to find our friends who make this whole thing a reality. So, another week.
Firstly, before we got into F1, you know, it's Sunday right now. Congratulations to Liverpool.
For those listening, I am wearing a Liverpool shirt. I'm a Liverpool fan. Born and bred in Merseyside. I was, you know, raised somewhere up there.
Such a lie.
No, but it doesn't matter. I have an affinity with the club, you know. I've never met Lewis Hamilton. I'm a fan. I'm not allowed to be because I'm not from Stevenage. Do you know what I mean?
You're getting defensive about it, all right?
But anyway, we are champions of England. And do you know what? I've got a... I'm not a Tory, but this is going to sound like I am. I've got a bottle of champagne downstairs. It was gifted to me for Christmas by the Fellas Studio. And I was like, okay, I'm going to save it for one of two things. It's going to be Liverpool winning the title or Lewis getting his eighth.
Yeah.
Now, I invited a friend around today, a Liverpool fan, to, you know, let's celebrate it, put the champagne in the fridge.
Yeah.
He's too hungover, so he didn't turn up. And I thought, I'm not cracking a bottle of champers on my ones. That's sad. Ruth is hungover. She didn't want to drink. Come on, Lewis. You know, not wait until next year. No, I might wait it until, because obviously you lift the trophy on the final day of the season.
The celebration.
I might wait till then. But because, I mean, genuinely at the start of the football season, I thought maybe it's more likely that Lewis actually leads me to cracking that bottle of champagne. But anyway.
Impressive.
But we are an F1 podcast. We are not a football podcast. I know you guys bang on about that. When I actually feel I don't use as many football analogies anymore.
You don't. No. Well done, though.
I've taken them out of my vocabulary.
Can I tell you something stupid I did yesterday?
That haircut.
No. Give me a break. No.
By the way, guys, just comment down below. Give the ratings on the trim.
I don't actually think...
Is he looking like a nice gem?
No. Look, there's pictures.
If I can find... I might send that picture to Lucas, our editor, and get him just to put it up on screen. Matt used to have this abomination of a trim.
I can't disagree with you.
It wasn't uncommon. I don't think it was like...
It was at a time...
Where's he got that from? I feel like it was a kind of a common trim.
It was at a time where it was perfectly normal. Skinny jeans, Converse.
I'm not sure if the trim was perfectly normal. It was more common.
It was. Do you want me to see if I can get it up while you're talking? But let me tell you something stupid I did do. Right. So, as you know, been doing some running recently. Did a half marathon a couple months ago. Well, no, actually in March. I have... what's the word I'm looking for? Submitted an application to run the London Marathon next year.
You've applied for the London
Marathon? That's what I mean, not submitted. I had to do a form.
Like it's a job. Gave in your CV.
So I'm now in a ballot, which I'll find out in July whether I've been selected or not.
Yeah, nice. I think a lot of people have done that.
Over 500,000, apparently.
Yeah, I had some friends try to convince me. I've literally got no interest in running a marathon. I don't understand it, right? I'm all for the day. Yeah. I'm more than happy turning up to support someone and just going to the pub.
Yep.
I like that part. I don't understand the running part. Doesn't interest me. Holy shit. Oh my God. Like, mate, show that to camera and get a close up on that.
That is...
I'm sorry.
Okay, my hair today is actually all right.
Compared to that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, right. I mean, if you're listening, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to head over to Instagram, search BoxBoxPod, drop us a DM, and we will send everyone who asks that photo.
And I got married.
Yeah, impressive.
It is impressive. Right, let's get
but
on.
In fairness, your wife is blind.
No, she's not.
No, she's not.
Thank you very much.
But she could be.
Shut up. Right, welcome along to BoxBox, another week of talking about F1, and I am excited for this one. So, right, coming up on the show, we're going to bring this back, right? We're going to be talking George Russell to Red Bull. We're going to be talking about the 2026 regulations. Still up in the air. A lot of teams are still unhappy. Lewis Hamilton tipped to maybe not see the end of the year with Ferrari.
What?
Aston Martin, a bit of a silly one. Team principal thanking Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso. We'll give our views on that. Most brutal sackings. I've got some interesting facts on this one. This actually, I'm really looking forward to that one. We've got some little quizzes and we've got some talk about Miami, some fan questions. So a lot coming up on the show. And we are going to discuss briefly the 2021 season because we posted a clip this week and it got me thinking, not talking about the actual how it ended, but just the season in general, because I actually want to hear from you guys. So do stick around for that. So yeah, a lot coming up. So shall we start off with George Russell and Red Bull reportedly held informal talks?
Yeah, I did see the news of this.
Yeah.
It's a strange one. I think to me, that looks more like they're worried about Max going.
Yeah. And look, George Russell is in a period at the moment where his contract expires at the end of the year.
Yep.
They've got Kimi, again, his contract expires at the end of the year. Mercedes will soon have to make a decision on one of the drivers, who they're going to be, you know, or potentially both of them, keeping them.
They could run with both of them.
But there's been reports for the last couple of seasons about Max Verstappen joining Mercedes. And perhaps Red Bull are a bit worried with this because when you're looking at who is around, if Max leaves out of the free agents as such, who is one of the better options? Maybe George Russell.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the thing is, if Max Verstappen leaves, there's no replacing him.
Oh, George can't do what Max has done.
No. And, you know, George is a great driver.
Yeah.
But absolutely no one at this point in time replaces Max Verstappen. No. That is a devastating loss to Red Bull. If it happens, I'm still sceptical. Look, these things happen all the time. I think Max will stay at Red Bull.
I think Max will stay at Red Bull for 2026, for sure. And we've said that before, haven't we? Mm. I think he will stay there and see out what the new regulations are like and how Red Bull are anticipating that.
He kind of has to.
Obviously, new engine supplier next year. Yep. And obviously, next year is one of those. And from what we hear, Mercedes are leaps ahead with regards to development for the 2026 car with the engine.
Because we're going back to sort of reliance on ICEs.
Mm.
It's, and we know that Mercedes are unbelievable at developing engines. And all the reports have come out and said, yeah, Mercedes engine is ahead of everyone else at this point in time, but it's still just whispers.
It's still early. And, you know, that may not be the case come the end of the, at the beginning of next year. But I think it's a, for me, this is just a lot of noise where they've held informal chats. That could literally be a chat that, you know, they've had in the paddock.
Yeah, who knows? They might not have even been talking about, you know, George coming to drive for Red Bull.
They might be talking about Liverpool winning the Premier League.
Exactly, or what they're going to have for dinner
tonight.
What a
pointless conversation that is. Yeah. Or what they're having for dinner tonight. So, yeah.
It's Look, it's possibly lazy reporting.
Mm.
And, you know, we get a lot of that when, you know, it wasn't a race week. There wasn't a lot going on. Nothing has really come out that has been like, oh my God, like, I can't.
Concrete, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't imagine George Russell in a Red Bull racing suit. I just don't think the two teams, I don't think the George Russell suits Red Bull, and I don't think Red Bull suits George Russell. Do you know what I mean? In terms of personality, yeah. I feel like they're not going to marry up. And look, like, George has to explore his options, mm-hmm. and it's entirely possible that that was a story leaked by, you know, a member of the George Russell team, mm. in order to get Mercedes thinking, oh shit,
we might lose him.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no saying that that's to replace Max Verstappen. Mm. I say replace in the sense of, like, if Max leaves. You know, it could be Yuki Tsunoda is not guaranteed that seat at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen and George Russell, that sounds like a pretty tasty partnership, doesn't it? So that's going to get Mercedes thinking, oh my God, if we lose George and Max stays at Red Bull, all of a sudden, Mercedes are the ones who are fucked.
Well, yeah, who'd they bring in?
You've got Kimi Antonelli, who's 18. Good, but he's not, like, matching George Russell at this point in time. And look, he's so young. He needs time. But then who else have you got? Are you going to bring Valtteri Bottas back into the seat? And Mercedes is going to be an appealing option. You know, at that point, you could lure Carlos Sainz away from Williams pretty comfortably.
Carlos Sainz seems the most logical move you'd go for.
If they were to lose George Russell.
Yeah, because when you're looking at the...
Permitting they weren't getting Max Verstappen off the back of that.
So if you're... Okay, so if you're Mercedes, you've lost George Russell, he's gone to Red Bull. Max Verstappen is staying at Red Bull. Who do you bring in? The most logical one would be Carlos Sainz for that grid, because you need someone experienced alongside Kimi Antonelli, because you can't, after one season, go, Kimi, you're now leading the team by bringing another F2 driver in. Do you know what I mean?
No, but that would be... Mercedes couldn't do that anyway. That would be ridiculous. But, like, they are a team that should have a top driver in both seats. And, you know, it's...
Because you're not going to lure Lewis Hamilton back. You're not going to lure Charles Leclerc.
No, not from Ferrari.
You know, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri aren't going to leave.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck taking the McLaren boys. Yeah.
So your only real option of experience on that grid, because you're not... Would you want someone like Fernando Alonso? Probably not. He's been there twice already.
He's too old.
Well, I don't even think it's that about him being too old. I just think, actually, he's been there twice. He's done that. You've kind of moved on from him.
What? Mercedes?
I'm thinking of McLaren. Ignore everything I just said there. Ignore everything I just said there.
Clip that.
Don't DTS clip that. Fans. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of McLaren. Fernando Alonso could be an option. But yeah, I can't see him leaving Aston Martin, especially with what they've got going on there.
And even so, I don't think Mercedes would want him. I don't think they'd want a 44-year-old coming into the seat.
No.
So
Carlos Sainz would be the most logical.
Yeah, he would make the most sense.
Or what about someone like Alex Albon? He has a solid season, outperforms Carlos Sainz.
I just don't think... This is going to sound harsh on Alex Albon, because I think he's a really good driver. But I have to say it how it is. I don't think Mercedes would take a Red Bull reject. And I say that because he got dropped by them. I don't think Mercedes...
Wasn't Carlos Sainz?
No, he left.
True.
He was at Toro Rosso and, you know, went to... He didn't get the promotion.
Yeah, he didn't get there.
But Carlos Sainz has now done it at a top team. You know, he's got a couple of race wins under his belt with Ferrari. And like I said, that's really harsh on Alex Albon, because he's way more than a Red Bull reject. And he's really, like, established himself as, like, a driver aside from the Red Bull program and everything. But I just think that's probably how Mercedes would think.
Lance Stroll?
He's got a good chance. Granted that his dad buys Mercedes first, I reckon he'll get the seat.
Do let us know if George left and they didn't get Max Verstappen, who would you like to see alongside Kimi Antonelli? So talking about next year, so F1 will hold further discussions over a late regulation change to the new 2026 power units, which Mercedes boss Toto Wolff has called a joke. Christian Horner was also asked about this and about the proposal. He said it was pretty sensible, although it should have been looked at 2 years ago. Mercedes seemed pretty confident with the job they have done for next year. This is something that we have asked to be looked at 2 years ago, and it's not something that we've all pushed. There's a lot of talk at this moment in time about the engines heading into next year.
Yep.
Not as maybe as powerful as they expected, maybe not as efficient as they expected.
I think there's also troubles with the actual aero of these cars as well.
So it's kind of like they're having crisis meetings now to try and work out how they're going to change that. Understandably, though, Mercedes are a bit pissed with this because they've done all their work with the regulations which they've been given.
Yeah. No, and I understand both sides of this because obviously, Christian Horner is... If all the rumours are suggesting Mercedes are well ahead, Christian Horner's not going to be like, oh, this is outrageous. Mm. We shouldn't be having this. But I think there are two sides to this which are both completely fair. And one is Mercedes being angry.
Mm.
And like, you know, it's shambolic. And I think even for us as fans, we can be a bit pissed off at the fact that we've got brand new regulations coming next year. Just again, as the field is tightening up, and it actually sounds like these regs are a disaster. And then I feel like we've kind of known they've not been good for the last couple of years.
Well, I think we spoke about it middle of last season that there was like gremlins about whether actually they were going to be as great.
And I feel like there's been enough coming out over the last couple of years about problems with the aero, and I just think it's pathetic that now, after these teams have invested, they haven't just started working on these cars this year. You know, and I know teams are investing a lot into 2026 this year, but there's a lot that has gone in over the past few years for the development of these cars. And if you're then going to change them, but obviously most of the investment has gone into the engines, developing these new engines.
Mm.
If you're then going to change it, what a waste of resources, like time resources, financial resources. So I think Toto Wolff is right to be livid, and I think Christian Horner makes a fair point of, yeah, they probably should look at it. They probably should have done it 2 years ago.
I think Christian Horner's comments, they didn't come across as kind of like trying to be a bit bitter, kind of like, oh, you know, we want to change it because Mercedes might be ahead. He's literally said, we asked for this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think it was Bahrain. They had an emergency, well, not an emergency meeting. They had a meeting with all the team principals ahead of one of the practice sessions to discuss it, because there is concerns. There were also discussions about whether bringing V10s back as well, you know, in the future and stuff like that. So it doesn't seem quite settled with how 2026 is looking. I think if they have to change it drastically, it is an embarrassment for the FIA because...
Yeah, because they've known about this for years.
Yeah. And, you know, there's smart people there. And
allegedly.
But the fact that they're having to change things last minute, I mean, realistically, what? It's only 8 months away, 9 months away?
Oh, yeah. And you think, you know, these cars need to be ready soon
realistically by January time, January, February, well, even December time.
Yeah, before, really. Yeah. They need... So, you know, they haven't got long. And which they won't, but if they completely scrap these regulations and go for, like, a new set of whatever, I actually don't even think it's achievable.
No.
But look, I think it's kind of... it epitomises the FIA in recent years.
Yeah.
Just, it's all a bit of a disaster. There's always something. There's always some form of controversy or some form of mishap that is happening. And, you know, in my opinion, it goes prior to 2021. But I think that was the big one, Abu Dhabi. But ever since, you know, so many things have just gone wrong, and it's just been like calamity after calamity. And you just need someone to go in there and get a grip of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Talking about 2021, should we talk about this now? So,
yeah.
We posted some clips out, and I even posted a clip today about safety cars and the 21 season and all of that stuff. And it got me thinking, because we've discussed the drama about 21, but I don't think we've ever discussed properly, and this is where I want to hear from you guys, and do drop a comment of how you found that season as fans. I still have not had another sporting event that has come close to how I felt about that 21 season, if that makes sense. Like, I'm a football fan, all of this stuff, but there's no sporting event like that 21 season that has literally made me feel so invested in a sporting event.
Yeah, I'd say, I'd confirm, Matt's a Brighton fan, so he's never really had... I it's up there with...
We got promoted to the Premier League. That was massive for us.
Impressive. I would say it's up there with like some of my most like memorable sports moments. But you've got to remember that it was across the span of a season. It was... I don't think I've ever been as haunted by a sporting event as I was by Abu Dhabi 21 in particular.
Yeah.
So it was one of the greatest seasons in sporting history.
It's like, I was talking to my dad about it the other day, and he likes to wind me up about it. Oh, I think it was a perfect... I think they did it perfectly. He does it to wind me up, and it still winds me up to this point.
Yeah.
And I don't think, until the day I die, I will ever get over that 21 season.
So now imagine how Lewis Hamilton feels.
Well, yeah.
You know, it happened to him.
Yeah.
And but I do think as a collective, as F1 fans, whether you're a Max fan or whatever, everyone should still be angry about that moment.
Mm.
And I know Max fans are going to be like, oh, get over it, it's salty. It's not about that, because I've sat here so many times and said, Max was a deserved world champion.
100%, yeah.
If Max had, you know, won that race in what I would consider a legitimate way, I wouldn't be complaining. I'd be pissed. But like, look, he's gone on to win 3 more world titles after that. I've got nothing but...
But I think across that season, they're both worthy champions. So even if, for example, they decided to red flag that Latifi crash, they both went on to softs, Max overtook him on the final lap.
Then,
fair play.
Yeah, then
fair
all
play.
Of a sudden you're like, fuck, yeah. That is the worst way to lose a race. Yeah. A championship.
But you would have accepted... I think I would have accepted it, because I would have gone, do you know what? Fine. But I think that whole season, I was... Even from race one in Bahrain, you know, Max pushing Lewis wide, and then, or you know, Max going wide, then having to give him the place back. Just from that whole...
Yeah, because I
was so invested.
I stand by it. I think that was harsh that Max had to give that place back. Bahrain.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
That
was super harsh. And I feel it did set the tone. Like, you just felt like they didn't have a grip.
I just think when you look at that season, and I want to hear from you guys, whether you're Lewis fans, whether you're Max fans, or just in general F1 fans, how did that season make you feel? Because I know we're 4 years on, but for me, I was relishing every race weekend.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to...
Other than when we had the Red Bull Ring 2 weekends in a row.
I wasn't... Yeah, The second race I wasn't. But every... You know, the press conferences I was invested in.
Yeah.
The free practice. The qualify. That whole race weekend, I've never been so invested.
Even watching like Toto and Christian speak. And...
Yeah. You know... And for me, I haven't had a sporting event or a series as such, a season like that in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Yes, I've gone to some great sporting things. You know, I've watched Brighton win the Premier League. Win, you know, get promoted to the Premier League, and I've been to Wembley, and you know, all of this stuff. But that whole season is, I think, one of my top sporting memories, because I was just so invested in the whole season.
But you wanted to talk about a rule in particular here.
Did I?
I thought that's what you were...
No.
You said at the start.
No. So we spoke about the safety car rule.
Oh.
Last week. No, I don't have a rule to talk about.
Oh, okay.
No, because it came from that. So that the clip I posted about, obviously, not being able to change tyres under safety car and stuff. It then got me, the people talking about 2021, and it got me thinking about... How did it make you guys feel And I know you probably go, why are we talking about this 4 years on? But actually...
We're over it.
Yeah. Well, Do let us know. What did you make of that season? And were you as invested as us? Whether you were even, you know, if you weren't Max or Lewis fans, were you still invested like us? Because it brought a lot of fans to the table, didn't it? It grew the sport.
Oh, yeah. That season and Drive to Survive, I think, is a huge catalyst for why you've seen F1 numbers go like that.
Oh, yeah. Drive to Survive that year, though, sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Because you basically showed everything which we had already seen.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I wanted to see, like, I don't know, you know, like a clip of Lewis throwing darts at a Max Verstappen face. Like, we saw everything that we had seen. It revealed nothing.
Yeah. Do let us know. Right. Lewis Hamilton has been tipped to ultimately walk away from Ferrari.
Just won't happen. Who said that?
So, former Toro Rosso driver, Jamie Alguersuari.
He must
know his stuff, doesn't he?
It's an unbelievable career.
He's making a bold claim that Hamilton is regretting joining Ferrari and Ferrari not being a winning team. And he will likely leave Ferrari potentially come the end of the season. I can't see Lewis leaving the end of the season.
I just don't think that's Lewis Hamilton.
No.
How many years does this man have to be in the sport for people to start respecting him and understanding him? Like, when has Lewis ever walked away from a challenge?
No.
Did he leave Mercedes in 2013 when he had a bit of a rough one after joining from McLaren?
Yep.
No. Stayed there. When he won 6 world championships there, like, come on, give us a break. I feel like there's so much negativity and it's always just like, and look, I don't feel like we've been negative about Lewis. I feel like as fans, you have to be honest about performances, whether it's for the driver you support or the driver you hate the most, right? Mm. Which is why we come here and praise Max Verstappen every week. Lewis has been poor this season. And I say poor, like, that's probably fairly harsh, but in comparison to Charles, he's been off it. He won the sprint race. People seem to forget that. He, yeah, granted, didn't have a great time in this new era of cars up against George Russell. Still beat him on points overall in the head-to-head in their time together. So you have to remember he's coming off the back of that 2021 season, which... I don't think I could have ever come back to the sport if something like that happened to me. He's then had to try and get to grips with a generation of cars that he's clearly not vibing with. He's openly said, like, his driving style is just not working here. We knew that when he was at Mercedes anyway. And I think people use his name to get headlines. Mm. That's what this guy's doing.
If you... Say it was you, for example, in that 21 season, coming into season. Would you have retired?
No.
You'd have come back and just...
Yeah, you have to. If I had won, I would have retired. Mm. You can't lose that and retire. Look, Lewis may have a few sleepless nights about Abu Dhabi. He would not sleep any night if he had retired after that. Mm. Because what if... What if Mercedes then produced a championship-winning car in 2022 or 2023 or 2024? Mm. You know, he wouldn't have had any of this. So I don't think he was wrong to stay on the sport. I think he was absolutely right. But I think had he have won, he perhaps would have, or at least should have, retired.
Do let us know. Right, this one's going to make you laugh. This made me laugh. Aston Martin's team principal has praised the contributions of both Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll. He insists that Aston are lucky to have the driver lineup. What? No. Okay. All right. You are very lucky to have Fernando Alonso. Granted.
Mind you, let me counter this point. How many points do Aston Martin have this season?
Not many. Lance Stroll has all the points. I know what you're going to say.
They should be grateful for him. He's saving them. If it wasn't for him, they'd have no points.
That is true. But
Someone commented on our post about Lance Stroll on TikTok. And basically they said that they used that point. And I just replied to them saying, have a day off. Like, that cannot be an argument for Lance Stroll staying at Aston Martin.
Looking at that clip, this makes me, the stroller coaster can race. Give him the fastest car and he'll win some races, but maybe not the competition. Give him a teammate who can race, they'll win the Constructors' Championship. No. I cannot understand why the mainstream media lets him off so much. Is there an injunction that protects him? Look at the people asking for the chop on Checo, Mazepin.
That's a fair shout, though.
Yeah.
You know, people always come out and say, you never hear them criticising Lance Stroll, if you actually think about it. It doesn't exist. What is that?
I don't know.
Has Lance Stroll, you know...
Pay people. After that Brazil last year, where Stroll crashed in qualifying, you know, the whole team had to rebuild that car ahead of the race, okay? Absolutely binned it. Did a phenomenal job, and then he goes off and just spins off and just drives into the gravel track before the race, okay?
Purposefully, by the way.
I don't remember seeing mainstream media or anything giving him a hard time for that.
They didn't.
Mazepin would do it, or Latifi would do it.
Or Brundle would be straight on the mic.
Yeah.
That's actually a valid point.
You don't actually hear criticism. Which is criticism. Fine, right?
It's his job to jump on the mic. But, yeah, you actually don't hear any criticism of Lance. And I actually don't know what the reason is, because... he warrants it. And we actually started this season by saying, hang on, Lance Stroll looks rejuvenated. He looks like he's ready to go. He was gassed to get into Q3. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, he's reverted back to old ways. But
they are lucky to have him.
Look, I don't... Maybe... Look, Lance Stroll has obviously grown up very, very, very privileged.
Hmm.
His dad's a billionaire.
Which isn't a bad thing. That's not a negative thing. It's just...
But my point is perhaps he's always been used to having the best. You know, if he goes into a toy shop with Daddy Lawrence, he buys the biggest toy.
Yeah.
Right? He gets the best toy, the newest toy. And he's probably had that his whole career. He probably had the best go-kart wherever he went. You know, he probably had mechanics when he was young, and he's probably always had the best, and he's come into F1 and now he hasn't got the best. It would be interesting to see how he performed in a car that was capable of winning.
Mm.
And I think we kind of got glimpses of that. And I think he did all right when the Aston Martin was... But the problem is that he was going up against Fernando Alonso, who did exceptionally well.
And the problem is, he decided to go cycling a few weeks before the Bahrain Grand Prix and broke both his wrists, so that didn't help.
Which was unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe we're being a bit harsh with actually being lucky, and perhaps he gives something behind the scenes we don't see, but I mean, there's not really much...
It makes a great lasagna.
Does he?
Yeah.
Interesting fact.
So he just brings it in for everyone.
Yeah.
That's his contribution.
My favourite ever Lance Stroll moment, it was when I was in Spa last year, and there were random clips going up on the screen, so they're asking the drivers, what's your favourite food? You know, what's your favourite meal of the day? And Lance Stroll comes up, and out of nowhere goes, I like breakfast. That was it. It was so good. Yeah, I like breakfast. And I was like, do you know what? I can't hate him. I actually like him as a person. I actually think he's quite funny. But when it comes to actually driving...
It's not a personal thing.
No, when it comes to driving, it's questionable.
If I was an Aston Martin fan, it would wind me up.
You can't take Aston Martin seriously when you've got a two-time world champion in Fernando Alonso who, in a competitive car, can actually deliver on its day. You then got a driver in Lance Stroll who doesn't look interested. And we, like you say, at the beginning of the season, we gave him a bit of praise because we were like, okay, this is a new Lance. Literally four races in, he's gone back to old Lance, and it's like, yeah, I can't be bothered. Qualified P20, that's me done.
Yeah.
So you can't take a team seriously who are going for constructors and drivers' titles for the future if you're not going to actually invest in a big name.
But this is interesting, right? And I know there's different leadership styles where some people will never come out and criticise their drivers or whatever, but an Aston Martin team principal could never criticise Lance Stroll. You're never going to hear them come out and say he needs to do better.
No.
Even though he does. Like, Christian Horner is coming out saying Checo needs to do better. Liam Lawson needs to do better. You've heard it from different team principals across many different teams across many years.
Yeah.
You've never heard one say it about Lance Stroll.
No, it's
and true. I think that just tells you, like, and I know we badger on about it, but I get it. He's got his dad, it's the relationship, it's his son. But come on, just fix it.
Right. This is an interesting one, and
is
I want to hear.
Quiz?
No, it's not. This one I'm going to tell you. Most brutal sackings. So, did you know?
I got sacked once.
Did you? Where?
You know the Drove, the pub in New Haven?
Yeah. For what?
Well, I was a young man. And I don't know, I think I was going out or something. And my shift was until like 10. And I had to catch a bus, which was pretty long. And they're like, oh yeah, we need you. Oh, bear in mind, I was 16 at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe even 15. They were like, oh yeah, you're staying on till close. This is like 15 minutes before my shift ended. I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, go catch a bus, mate. They're like, yeah, you are. I was like, well, how am I going to get home? They're like, oh, someone will give you a lift. I was like, fuck that, I don't want to get in the car with him. So I was like, all right, fine. I worked in the kitchen just like doing the dishes. They all nipped out for a cigarette. Took my clothes off, put my clothes on, fucked off. Yeah, then I came back in the next day or whatever, like for my next shift, and one of the chefs was like, no, you don't work here anymore. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, you walked out on shift. I was like, not technically true, but class. I called my mum. I was like, oh, don't drive off. Can you come back and get me? I've been sacked.
You're so happy about it.
Oh, I hated that job. And then they overpaid me, like, honestly, they overpaid me massively.
Did they?
Yeah, like, they just obviously typed my salary in wrong and paid it. So, like, not telling them about that.
Until now.
Yeah, well, it's too long ago now. And I was lying. I made it up. You didn't overpay me.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, do let us know what's your most brutal sacking. Do drop a comment. That'd be an interesting one. We can talk about that next week. But when we're talking about F1, the most brutal sacking. So did you know in 1996, Damon Hill, driving for Williams, lost his seat and won the world championship in the same year after Williams decided mid-season not to renew his contract?
Interesting.
That's mad.
Do you remember that? You would have been...
I was eight. So I don't remember. I remember him winning the title. I don't remember him getting sacked.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that until this came up. Can you imagine though, right? You're mid-season. You're having a battle with Michael Schumacher. Like, you're really intense. And you're kind of like, mid-season, look, Damon Hill, we're not going to renew your contract.
I wonder why.
No idea.
And,
but he obviously showed him up, didn't he? Because he went on to win the championship.
Yeah, but would you not get to the end of the season and be like, hang on, mate, we've actually got a little contract here for you. Do you want it?
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird. That is, like, who did they replace him with?
I don't know.
Surely we can find out. I'm gonna ask the trusted ChatGPT. should we see what it says? So use this new little voice mode one now. Who replaced Damon Hill in the Williams in 1996?
In 1997, Damon Hill was replaced at Williams by Heinz Harald Frentzen.
Oh, you know, Heinz Harald Frentzen. 12-time world champion.
That didn't work out very well.
No, and that's why, you know, the grass is greener syndrome is very real. Mm. And it applies to every aspect of life.
Yeah, it's impressive. Right, you'll like this one. So, Alain Prost, 1991, driving Ferrari. He was dropped with one race to go after comparing the Ferrari 643 to a truck.
What, they just got rid of him?
Yep. Look how cool that is.
They got rid of Alain Prost?
Yep. They dropped him with one race to go.
Wow.
Danny Kvyat, you probably know this one, 2016, Red Bull, dropped or replaced mid-season by Red Bull or Toro Rosso three times, most famously by Red Bull. What the hell? Wait,
who wrote that sentence?
You read that. I literally wrote it.
Daniel Kvyat, Red Bull 2016. Dropped or replaced mid-season by Red Bull or Toro Rosso three times. Most famously by Red Bull just three races into 2016 to make way for Max Verstappen. Basically, what made that more brutal is that Max then stole his girl, wifed her up, and I think that makes it better. I think the fact that Max stole his girl and now having a baby and everything, I think that makes it better.
Okay. Okay, does it make it better that...
So he took his girl, but imagine if he took his girl...
And his child. Not necessarily his child, but
he's like now stepped in. Yeah. But if he had just taken the girl and then been like, oh, no, I didn't actually want her. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That would be worse, because now he's ruined it for no reason.
Does it make it better, though, that actually you lost your seat to someone who actually went on to win a championship? Like, can you imagine it? You've been dropped and you're kind of like, oh, do you know, this guy's gone on to be shit as well.
It arguably makes it... Does it not make it even more difficult? Because at least if Max was rubbish, when he gets dropped, Kvyat could be like, fucker, told you.
True.
Whereas now, he's got to watch Max win four world championships, absolutely dominate F1, be regarded as one of the best drivers to ever race in a Formula One car. And he's still got his girl. It's got to be tough.
Nelson Piquet Jr., Renault, 2009. Pressured into crashing to help teammate Alonso with Singapore 2008.
Oh, so it's alleged.
Then sacked halfway through 2009.
Well, you should have stopped crashing.
Yeah. Described Renault boss and his manager, Flavio Briatore, as a... Do you know?
Does it begin with C?
Nope.
Damn it.
Executioner.
Oh.
Interesting. Well, he lost his seat, didn't he? Jolyon Palmer, 2017, Renault again. Couldn't show GP2 title winning form on the big stage, but deserved better than reading about his mid-season sacking in Autosport. I did not know that. Can you imagine? Right. Give us a scenario here, right? You're sitting down, you're in, I don't know, Monaco, right? You've just done a gym session, getting ready to go for your next race.
Well, he'd have to get that flat up for sale pretty quick, wouldn't he?
True, yeah, you can't afford that anymore. Sitting down, got your copy of Autosport, flicking through.
Well, I mean, what would you... Hang on. There's a typo in this one. I'd have try and return it.
You'd be straight on going, I've just read something. Is it true?
Bloody paper's going to have to sue them.
No, that's actually
They've
true.
They've been spreading lies about me.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't work here anymore, mate.
He's a very good pundit, though. I like his analysis.
Yeah.
And
that is a brutal way to get sacked.
It is. And finally, Kevin Magnussen, McLaren, 2014. Scored a podium on debut, but demoted to reserve driver at the end of the year to make way for... Do you know?
God, 2014. For... Fernando Alonso.
Fernando Alonso. But he was later dropped entirely by email on his 23rd birthday.
Oh, that's a tough birthday.
Mm.
Unless he gets a payout.
Well, I'm sure.
That's like receiving money in a card. It's the digital equivalent.
Very true, very true. Well, do let us know what your thoughts are on those. The Madrid circuit has been released this week.
You seen the gameplay footage?
I sent it to you.
And I looked at it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah, look. Well, you might have just sent it and not watched it.
Firstly, whoever's driving it is pretty shit.
Yeah, they are pretty shit.
My first thought from this was, where is anyone going to overtake?
You see, my first thought was, I actually don't think a car in real life is going to be able to deal with. It's like... I can't explain it. I'm doing something with my hands right now if you're listening. It's like too bumpy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That I do like, I think, is it turn 12? The embankment type?
Yeah.
That looks quite cool.
I like that. That's cool. But like, I'm pretty sure I'm thinking turn one. Is it a chicane?
Yeah. Is anyone going to get through that?
That's going to just rip up the floor of the car.
Yeah. I don't know. Do let us know what your thoughts are on the Madrid circuit. I mean, obviously, as we know, this is Barcelona's last year.
But we shouldn't be losing a track like Barcelona.
Barcelona's iconic.
This kind of rubbish track, you know. But we've got enough street tracks. We just need tracks where people can overtake, proper racing tracks with everything.
Stop taking away the classics.
Yeah, like, why are they trying to... It's just money. Why are they trying to ruin the sport?
Apparently Carlos signs with the ambassador for one of them, isn't he?
Probably.
Oh, I bet he's going to win it. They're going to fix it so much that he's the one who's going to win the race.
In a Williams.
Yeah. Well, you never know. That Williams next year. Do let us know on the Madrid circuit. So, let's talk a bit about Miami. This is your segment.
Oh, this is. Welcome to Miami. I'm speaking slowly because I'm just trying to load the app up so I can give you all the information. But
while Luke is doing that, can I just say thank you for everyone who got involved in the Lando Norris clip last week?
Oh, when my God. Can I just say this about Lando fans? Softest bunch out there. Jesus Christ, he's a fully grown man, right? Some people in sport do not rate certain people. Now, just to confirm, I'm also not one of them, okay? Matt might not like Lando that much. Doesn't mean he hates him. Doesn't mean he wants to see him under a train. He just is not a fan of him in the sport. That is absolutely fine. You need to stop crying about it because it's embarrassing for you, not us. Anyway, on to Miami, which is kicking off in 4 days, 20 hours and 49 minutes. From this podcast, for you, that's going to be about 2 days, 3 days. When did we come out? Oh, it comes out tomorrow. So it'll be 3 days. I'm not going to do the math, but anyway. Miami, 5.4 kilometers, 57 laps, 19 turns, a top speed of 349.3 kilometers per hour with an elevation of 3.53. I'm using Boxbox Club. To get all this information, by the way, and if you want the times, these are British summertime times, so you know, adjust accordingly wherever you are listening to in the world, but it will be 5:30 p.m. on Friday to 6:30 p.m. Then, remember, it's a sprint weekend, so we have lots of action. 10:14
Is it
PM.
A sprint weekend?
It is, yes. A sprint weekend.
Love a sprint weekend.
On the Friday evening, we then have the sprint race on Saturday, 5 till 6. We then have quali, 9 till 10. I'm actually at a wedding on that day, so
I'm assuming you're not going to go.
I'm not going to the race because I'm at the wedding.
Just don't go to the wedding.
I'm going to go to the wedding. It's free.
It's not your wedding, is it?
It's a free bar.
Is it? Oh, you'll be there.
Can't say no, but I will be watching it. Don't worry. Somehow I'll watch it. Maybe they'll have a TV in. They won't. I'll use my phone. So qualifying on Saturday, 9 till 10, and then the race is at 9 till 11 on Sunday. That's perfect. That is unbelievable times. I'm happy with that.
It's bank holiday. Is it bank holiday on the Monday?
Don't know. Every day is a bank holiday.
For you, it is, yeah.
How many DRS zones?
Three.
There is three
down the main straight. Down there's another long straight in sector one, I think, and then the final straight down into sector three.
When? When?
What do you mean when?
When did I ask?
We didn't. I was thinking. Hey, I'll give you that one. High five that one. Good one. Good one. Like it.
Merked him. I stole that one off Theo. Most successful constructor?
Red Bull.
Which means most successful driver?
Sergio Perez. No, Max Verstappen.
Almost. Lap record?
A one. It's quite a longer track, isn't it? A 134?
Oh, close. 131.3.
Oh, fuck it.
So obviously this is this is going to be our fourth time at Miami. 22, 23, 24, 25. Yeah. Lando Norris got his inaugural F1 win there last year. There goes my phone. I can see him getting his second Miami win and matching Max Verstappen. But you're going to say Oscar Piastri.
Yeah. I am. Look, Oscar's the one who's in form at the moment.
Yeah, that is true. And
look, we can sit here and go, oh, well, I can't believe you're going for Oscar. Well, Oscar has the same number of race wins as Lando Norris, okay? Oscar has won 3 Grand Prix this year compared to Lando Norris's 1. We've got to get away from this whole thing that actually it's laughable that maybe Oscar Piastri will win this weekend, because I don't think it is. I truly believe Oscar Piastri is the real title contender this year, and I can see him winning this weekend.
It's still, for me, it's just that thing of I genuinely believe Lando is the faster driver.
It's okay being fast, and he's fast. On his day, he's a talented driver, and he's unstoppable. But he has to do it consistently, and he doesn't do that. Yeah, Oscar Piastri is composed. We've seen that this year. He's composed. Even when he makes mistakes, it's fine. He learns from it. He makes it, you know, goes forward. He does what he needs to do. Winning 3 races out of the first 5 is not an easy feat, and he's actually delivering.
Not. And it's especially not easy when Lando Norris is your teammate.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the same car. But I know this is a moot point, like, because it doesn't mean anything. But if Lando Norris had the same mentality as, or, you know, the same temperament as Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris, in my opinion, would have won 5 out of 5 races.
Do you know what? And I would agree with you. As I've said before, and I've said a few seconds ago, Lando Norris on his day is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He really is. He's a fast driver. He's a very, very talented driver. But he's not consistent. His mentality affects his races.
Yeah, it's like that. He really succumbs to pressure. And succumbs to it.
We all go on about, okay, you know, oh, he's favourite for the World Championship this year. You do not see these type of mistakes from the champions. You know, look at Jenson Button when he won his season, okay? He was he had the fastest car, granted, but he was consistent.
Yeah, but he had to turn up.
He was consistent all the way throughout.
No, I mean, you see this from world champions, you know, in world championship seasons, you know, Michael Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, like Max Verstappen. You know, Max is arguably one of the greatest examples of a driver who is just flawless. And yeah, we're not seeing that from Lando Norris, and that genuinely is the difference. It's not a pace issue for Lando, because he's quick, and anyone who says otherwise is just an idiot.
Mm.
But it really is that temperament and that keeping his cool and not crumbling under pressure, and it is something that he can get under control. But if I'm honest, I'd rather have the mindset and be a little bit slower.
Hmm.
I think you get more from having the ability to handle pressure, because it's all well and good being quick, but if you're going to stick it in the wall when it matters most, you might as well be the slowest driver on the grid.
Yeah. No, and I think, so yeah, okay, top three. My top three would be...
Are we getting Ferrari upgrades? Let me refer to my goldfish on Reddit.
Yeah. How was it last time? What's your goldfish's name?
No, but Lewis understands the car now.
Oh, he said that in Bahrain. He went to Saudi. He didn't do great there.
No, but he does.
Yeah, he understands it.
Yeah.
Going back to what I said, what's your goldfish name?
Hasn't got a name.
Cool. Top three.
Whoa, because he can't remember it.
Ah, nice, like it. Top three for this weekend's Miami Grand Prix.
It's a cop-out. It's easy. Well, easy-ish. I mean, look, I'm going to put Lando there in P1. And then... Oh, man. Maybe this isn't a Red Bull track, but every track's a Max Verstappen track. So obviously you've got the two McLarens, P1, P2. Then I find it so hard to bet against Max. And obviously last week I put Lewis Hamilton in. It's a bit of a joke. It's more like hopeful more than anything. And I don't think the Ferrari is good enough to be in those positions. I know Charles got a podium last week in Saudi, but
That was simply because Lando didn't deliver on the Saturday.
Yeah, and Charles also did a really good job. And you know, Lewis did him a big favour by holding Lando up for a couple of laps. So it was kind of like the perfect storm. So yeah, that's my top three.
Oscar, Max, Lando.
Max to beat Lando.
Yep.
You hate him.
No, I don't.
I can see steam coming out of your ears.
Yeah, answer me this then, because you're very much on the fence with Oscar, and I can tell from the conversations that you're unsure. What does Oscar need to do for you to firmly believe that he is a title contender this year? Because winning three out of the first five races...
Just to be clear, I do believe Oscar Piastri is a title contender. I think, for me, I have to see him match Lando on his day. Correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory is not incredible. We haven't seen Oscar beat Lando in the event that Lando hasn't made an error somewhere this season.
No. Fair. Yeah.
You know, if Lando's made an error somewhere that's cost him to the point where he's not, you know, he's compromised his start.
China, Oscar won, didn't he? He won comfortably.
Yeah.
But then I know you can say Lando had his issue with his brakes towards the end, but Oscar was pretty comfortable in that.
Yeah. But where did Lando finish that race?
Second.
Okay. So you could say China. But he did have the issues with his brakes and...
But they were towards the end of the race. Lando wasn't really catching him beforehand.
But I would say generally, 9 times out of 10, you typically tend to see Lando ahead on raw pace.
Yeah, okay.
And Oscar's very, very quick. And there's always going to be days when he's quicker. And you've got to remember, Oscar's still Lando's very experienced. But Oscar's got the temperament. I've already said I'd rather be Oscar Piastri in this title fight because he's got the mindset. He's got the pace to win a world championship. That's not the question. I just think Lando is that bit quicker.
Yeah.
But he's got the head for it. And that's what's going to make the difference. So I think give it 3 or 4 more races and I will start to tick over into the Oscar Piastri is going to win it club.
Join us.
I will.
Right, got a little quiz for you.
Right, we like these.
And this is something which I did with you probably about 6 months ago. And I want you guys to play at home. Do let us know if you get it right. If you're driving along, just say it out loud. So, the driver numbers.
I knew it was going to be this.
Yeah. You were pretty poor at this last time.
I'm going to be poor again.
So, we're going to go through each team. And I want to know if you can guess what numbers they are. So, Alpine, Jack Doohan.
Jack Doohan.
What number is Jack Doohan?
Jack Doohan is number 86.
He's number 7. Pierre Gasly.
I know this one.
Come on now.
Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, okay. That's not a number.
No. He is number 27.
Number 10. Aston Martin, right. Fernando Alonso.
14.
Lance Stroll.
18.
Well done. Ferrari. Charles Leclerc. Oh, come on.
No. I do know this. Is he 23? No. No, I lied.
I want to punch you in the face.
No. Give me... Well, Lewis Hamilton's 44.
Yeah, well done.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh, come on.
No, just give me a second.
This is embarrassing.
But no, that I'm... Now I'm picturing, I was going to say five, but that was Seb. I'm like picturing the only way I can do it is if I picture the car and I have to picture the number on the car. 16.
Well done. Bloody hell. Haas. Esteban Ocon.
Esteban Ocon.
I love doing this game.
Maybe he's 27.
No, he's 31. Ollie Bearman.
I feel like Ollie Bearman's a really high number.
He is.
Maybe
a high
he's 86.
He's 87.
Oh. I thought 86 must have come from somewhere.
Sauber. Right, Bortoleto. I'll give you a clue. Previous owner of this number was Sebastian Vettel.
Five.
Yeah, well done. Nico Hülkenberg.
27.
Well done. McLaren, Lando Norris.
4.
Oscar Piastri.
81.
Well done. Mercedes, Kimi Antonelli.
Kimi Antonelli, I'm not sure.
Shall I tell you?
No.
Okay, good.
I feel like it's a low number.
Okay.
13.
12. George Russell.
George Russell is 63.
Yeah. The RBs, Isaac Hadjar.
I've got no idea, but 41.
No, previous owner of this number was Rosberg and Latifi.
What number was Nico Rosberg? Oh, so long ago.
I'm going to tell you. Number 6. Yuki Tsunoda.
Well, but he's in a Red Bull.
Oh, yeah. Well, on here hasn't changed. But let's... Okay, Liam Lawson then. Previous owner, Jolyon Palmer.
Liam Lawson. I'm trying to picture the car. Feel like it's in the 30s.
Yep.
34.
30. Yuki Tsunoda, Red Bulls.
Yuki. Now I know this.
This is embarrassing, mate.
It's not good. No, Yuki, I know.
Previous owner, Jenson Button.
Oh, that helps.
Also.
Nah. Look. I do know this.
I'm telling you. 22.
22.
Yeah. Well, Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen.
Well, number one.
Well done. And finally, Williams, Alex Albon.
Nah, because I know this.
I don't think you do.
I do. Alex Albon. He's number 20.
Yeah.
3.
Well done. Carlos Sainz.
55.
How'd you get that? Because it's on a hat behind me.
No, but I knew it anyway.
Yeah.
I can't even see 55 from here.
Right. Let us know how you got on. Right. Finally, fan questions. So each week, you can I put a post up on Instagram asking for you guys to send in your questions. And I've got a few questions for you. So the first one is... this is from Anna Kira, tattoo update. Right, let's move on, Anna, okay?
Oh, yeah, because Matt actually still has to get a tattoo of Latifi.
It wasn't Latifi.
No, I thought you were getting a portrait of his face on top of yours, so you ended up looking like him.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
No.
For £100,000?
No.
A million?
No.
10 million?
No.
100 million?
No.
500 million?
Yes.
499 million?
No, 500 million, shaking
499,999,999.
Nope.
Right. For £1 less, you wouldn't do it.
Let's move on. Alfie Knight has had Lewis retires, okay? Max joins Mercedes. Are you now a Mercedes fan? No.
When have I... been a Mercedes fan anyway.
No.
I'm a Lewis fan.
No. But obviously Lewis is retired. So who would you go to? We've discussed this before, and if Lewis retired, it's a difficult one. I'm talking on behalf of you, but you're more of a Leclerc. You would probably follow someone like Leclerc.
I do, but it would be difficult. And like my kind of equivalency to this is, imagine I had to watch football, but you're just taking Liverpool out.
Yeah.
They just don't exist anymore. It's like, I'll still watch it because I love the sport. Like, I love watching football. But no one's going to get me off my seat. Eventually, I'm sure it will come because, you know, Lewis came along. Someone will come along that draws that out of me. But I think also, all the while Lewis is still there, it's like, here's an analogy for you.
Okay.
You know when you're with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend. You're like, wow, like, this is, I can't imagine being with anyone else. This is great. And then you break up, you're all sad. And then eventually someone else comes along. That's what it will be like. Okay. You know, I can't imagine being a fan of anyone else right now. And then eventually Lewis will leave us. I'll have a mourning phase. And then eventually, you know, I'll open up to someone else.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I mean, I can't see me supporting anyone else like I support Lewis. Ollie Bearman could be someone. He's a, you know, young British driver coming through. But I do like Carlos Sainz. I like personalities in the sport, but I'm a bit unsure of if I would have the same.
Yeah, see, now this is the phase of like where you've started going out again. You're like, all right, I'll get back on the horse, go to the club, 3 a.m.
God, I'm not out that late.
I'll see. Maybe she'll come home with me. I'll speak to her. Oh, that, yeah. It's not the same, though.
No.
You know.
Good question. Do let us know. Who do you support? That would be an easy one. What made you get into F1? Good question. For me, it was my dad.
That is an interesting one.
It was my dad who got me into F1. Like, literally Sundays watching, like, Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, and then obviously...
You've watched F1 for, like, substantially longer than me. Like, yeah. I'm someone that has always... I mean, I love sport.
Mm.
Whereas you've always... F1 has always been your sport.
I've always liked F1 from an early age. My nan loved it. I used to, you know, as I said, used to do cutouts. You've seen those anyway, which we've discussed.
She used to watch it when they raced on horses.
I'll tell her that. but, yeah, no, I've watched it from Mika Hakkinen days. I was a Mika Hakkinen fan. Mm. I like McLaren's then. So,
bear in mind, I was about 2 when Mika Hakkinen was at McLaren.
He was there a while. But... No, probably, yeah, it was my dad and my nan who got me into F1. I went to Silverstone when I was like 13, I think it was. And there's a picture of me, and I if I find it, I'll post it one day, of me having a Ferrari flag, because my nan was a Ferrari fan. My dad hated Ferrari, and I had it scrunched up, and I was using it to like wipe the car.
Oh, just to wind her up.
Yeah. Obviously, I wouldn't do that now because I love Ferrari.
Yeah, we're both Ferrari.
Yeah. But yeah, do let us know. What made you get into F1? Good question. Who do you take? All right. A prime Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
Or a prime Fernando Alonso?
Prime Lewis.
Why?
Prime Lewis Hamilton, right, has won 7 world championships. He's the most decorated. I cannot deal with the disrespect. And the fact that he even gets compared to Fernando Alonso is disrespectful. Fernando Alonso won 2 world championships. Great. Right, he's going in the history books. Unbelievable driver. He's not in the same conversation as Lewis Hamilton. He's just not. And I know that's going to annoy people. Fine, leave comments. Great, it helps boosting views. But at the end of the day, they are not the same. So you're always going to take a prime Lewis Hamilton over a prime Fernando Alonso.
No, I'd agree.
Argue
with him. Do let us know. Who would you take? Prime Lewis Hamilton, prime Fernando Alonso. Final question. Who is the worst teammate this season? And I'm assuming by what you mean by worst teammate is who's the worst driver out of the team. It's hard, isn't it, really? Because McLaren have got a good team. Lewis got a good team. Red Bull.
Lewis have a good team.
Ferrari have a good team.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Lewis needs to up it.
Oh, he needs to up it, but he's not the worst.
No. It's not even close.
You can't even say Lance Stroll. He's got more points than Fernando Alonso.
Initially, it started as Liam Lawson. I mean, he was initially the worst teammate. I think it'd be harsh. Red Bull Liam Lawson is the worst teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
But I think what you have at the moment is all the teams actually look quite tight-knit. Like, if they're talking about, you know, let's say, like, it's not about good or bad. Mm. It's about who's an actual good teammate, as in Lewis Hamilton, when he had Nico Rosberg as a teammate, was not a very good teammate.
No.
So Lewis probably would have been the worst teammate at that point in time because he wasn't racing as a team, which is fine. Like, champions have that in them. I think at this point in time, like, every single team looks very tight-knit.
Yeah. And we said it last week, didn't we? There's not a bad driver. We don't have, like, a Mazepin or a Latifi on the grid anymore. All teams generally look pretty solid. So, yeah, it's a bit hard. Do let us know who is the worst teammate. I mean, you'd probably have to say Lawson on how he's performed so far this season.
Yeah, but I don't think that translates to Racing Bull.
No. Yeah, no. If you're talking about just Red Bull. If you're talking about
Red Bull,
And that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. Next week, do stay tuned for this because there is a good... We've got to do the reflex game.
We're going to do a little reel on that as well.
Yeah. So there, with BoxBox Club, they also have another app which is called Reflex. Go and check it out. Go and download it. It's a fantastic, fantastic game. It's basically checking your reflexes on...
It's your reaction time.
Yeah. You know?
So the lights go out, bang, you've got a touch screen. How quick can you do it?
So Luke and I will do a reel on this and we'll do a video on this because it is going to get competitive. Mm-hmm. And I think what we should do, we should have three attempts. Whoever gets the highest score... or the lowest score wins. But yeah, do check it out. It's great. I've actually really enjoyed it. I've had a couple of goes on it. It's pretty decent.
I'm going to beat him 100%.
Blah, blah, blah. Right, we're going to do, that's the end of the podcast. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. If you have, do drop a comment. Leave us a like. If you're watching us on clips, do drop us some comments. If you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platforms, do leave us a 5-star rating. And even if you're on Spotify, you can leave us a comment. So do that. We'll be back next week reviewing the Miami Grand Prix.
Yep.
And hopefully it's a good one. I'm hoping it's a good one. But do check us out on all social media because we do post daily and we will be posting clips even after the Miami Grand Prix. So do check us out then. But yeah, thank you for watching, listening. Have a great week and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.
God, he dragged that out, didn't he?
Yeah.